Good morning. Good morning. We are so glad you are here. Oh, I just saw it posted in the chat, a little note from Catherine who got a new computer and a new monitor, not a new camera. So it's always something, right, in these days. So welcome. We are glad you're here in whatever way you are showing up. We conclude this month's worship theme of becoming with words from Robin Gray. Day breaks on our gratitude for family and friends.
For the freedom to find our own truth.
For the company of those who gather here.
And the promises we offer one another.
Let the light of day bring the grace of faith into our lives. Let us worship together. We acknowledge that the land on which we gather as a congregation, where we live, work, and play, was not freely given to us. We gather on the ancestral land of the Nuchu, Apache, Pueblos, Hopi, Zuni, and Diné Nation. We recognize the indigenous peoples as original stewards of this land. As these words are spoken and heard, the ties that nations have to their ancestral homelands are renewed and reaffirmed. We acknowledge that our use of and benefit from this land came at a dire cost to Native nations and peoples whose land we now inhabit. I am Katie Kandarian Morris, the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. Unitarian Universalists gather in the spirit of covenant, meaning we need not think alike to love alike. How good it is to be creating community with you right now. We are uniquely situated to offer an open-hearted place to worship, to grow in faith, and to create more justice in our community. In these difficult times, we continue to respond to the world's brokenness with our liberal religious values of love and justice. Our leadership continues to work on creating recommendations for plans for our various regatherings in person. We want everyone to be welcome and to be safe. For Sundays, we'll be creating multi-platform worship so that those who can only join us online will still be able to participate. And in the meantime, we're planning an outdoor UUFD worship on June 13th, where we celebrate the Flower Communion, and another outdoor worship August 22nd with the Book Communion that day. And those will also be available online. On August 29th, go ahead and mark your calendar because we'll be doing a Pine Song worship retreat out at the home of the Carpenters on their beautiful property. We'll gather for worship followed by an all community picnic. We realize right now that we're asking for patience and forbearance right when everyone is the most exhausted. We have so much gratitude for the many, many gifts of this faith community. And one more thing, mark your calendar for a Zoom all community gathering on Saturday, May 8th at 10 a.m. until 11:30, in which our UUA regional staff contact, the Reverend Sarah Gibb-Milspa, will lead us in conversation and sharing as we move into a season of regathering in person. I am going to skip ahead because I realize we're going to be using the closed captioning and that closed captioning option, and I didn't turn it on. So I'm turning it on right now. And now it's on. And if you are finding that seeing that across the bottom of your screen is distracting, you can drop down to the bottom and turn that off for your own screen. But this way, folks that find it helpful will be able to use it. If you are new here, we welcome you. Our connections coordinator, Shannon Beaver, would love to greet you personally. So type into the chat if you'd like to be added to our e-newsletter list. And an invitation to please stay after the service for our informal small group fellowship time. Leading our service with me today is our worship team, a terrific group of staff and lay leaders. Tom Miller is our volunteer worship associate. Kiara Stacy, one of our teachers, is going to be today's storyteller. Shannon Beaver, our communications coordinator, and Cheryl Guy are our greeters. James Mirabal is our tech director, and Dennis McClure is our tech assistant. We are fortunate to receive the gifts of music leader Elizabeth Crawford and today's musician Lawrence Nass. And the closing hymn features Elizabeth, Marilyn Garst, and me. We are using, I told you about the closed captioning already. I wanted to make sure I got that turned on. We define worship as shaping things of worth. In so doing, we create community, providing opportunities for transformation.
As James lights our chalice, this time in a new way, which you can see, we'll continue our practice of speaking our affirmation while staying muted, which allows everyone to acknowledge the peace of these sacred words. We invite you to feel what it's like to focus on our affirmation in this way, a way that calls us to be present, not just with the words, but also deeply with the spirit of the covenant that calls us to be present with each other. The words are in the chat box if you need them. We hope you'll also say the words aloud at home so that you can hear your voice as well as mine. Please check to see that you're muted. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve human need. For these high purposes do we unite in worship.
And I invite you to set your screen to, if it's not already, to gallery view so that you can see everyone present. Let's offer with an attitude of reverence and hospitality a greeting of peace and welcome, something like peace be with you, to all of those who are making up our congregation today. All right. Well, we are so glad that you are here today. And we share our joys and sorrows in a ritual of candlelighting in community. And now you might want to change your screen back to speaker view, and that way you'll be able to more clearly see who is sharing. If you are so moved, I invite you to offer a personal joy or sorrow, and I will light a candle for you in just a moment. In a moment, you can wait for just a minute, but I'll invite you to type your name into the chat so we can identify you. First, we'll go ahead and light a candle today as we remember the 572,000 U.S. souls and lives lost to COVID. We light this candle. And this week, especially, we acknowledge all of the Black lives lost the many who died because of lethal use of force by police. We'll pause here now to listen to music created by the First Unitarian Brooklyn Choir, along with the Westerlies. And let's continue the spirit of prayer and silent meditation with words this morning from the Reverend Vanessa Southern. So much undone, so much to do, so much to heal in us and the world, so much to acquire. A meal, a healthy body, a fit one, a lover, a job, a better job. Proof we have and are enough. Just around the corner of now. And up against it, the reality of all that falls short and the limits of today. We honor the limits. If your body won't do what it used to do, for right now, let it be enough. If your mind won't stop racing or can't think of the word, let it be enough. If you are here utterly alone and in despair, be all that here with us. If today you cannot sing because your throat hurts or you don't have the heart for music, be silent. When the offering plate goes around, if you don't have the money to give or the heart to give, let it pass. The world won't stop spinning on her axis if you don't rise to all occasions today. Love won't cease to flow in your direction. Your heart won't stop beating. All hope won't be lost. You are part of the plan for this world's salvation. Of that, I have no doubt. The world needs its oceans of people striving to be good, to carry us to the shores of hope and wash fear from the beachheads and cleanse all wounds so they can heal. But oceans are big, and I am sure there are parts that don't feel up to the task of the whole some days. Rest if you must, then, like the swimmer lying on her back who floats, or the hawk carried on cushions of air. Rest in seats made to hold weary lives in space carved out for the doing of nothing much but being. Perhaps then you will feel in your bones, in your weary heart, the aching, healing sense that this is enough, even this, that we are enough, you are enough, enough. Let us sit in the silence. For these and all the meditations of our hearts unspoken in this hour, I say, Amen. Blessed be. Amen. Ashe.
You'll be okay. Be okay. The sun will rise to better days, and change will come. It's on its way. Just close your eyes and let it rain. You're never alone. I'll always be there. You just carry on. You will understand. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. Just look inside. Say goodbye. okay. You'll be okay. The sun will rise to better days. You'll be okay. You're gonna be okay.
Thank you, Lawrence. That was beautiful. Let's go in for a listen to our story. Thank you, James. Following Papa's song, by Gianna Marino. At dawn, Little Blue nuzzled alongside Papa and asked, "Is it time?" "Listen for the other whales," said Papa. "When you hear their call, we'll know it's time to go." Little Blue listened to the peaceful quiet that whispered through the morning sea. Papa asked Little Blue, "Are we going far?" "Yes, Little Blue, we will travel farther than we ever have ever gone before." "But Papa, how will we know which way to go?" "We'll follow the song of the whales, Little Blue, just like our family has for years upon years." Papa moved off with a sweep of his tail, and Little Blue wiggled to follow. "Papa," said Little Blue, "how do you swim so fast?" "When you are big, Little Blue, your tail will carry you quickly too." "When I am big, Papa, will I still hear your song?" "Yes, Little Blue, if you listen closely, you will always hear my song." Little Blue heard a sound from far off and said, "I hear the other whales, Papa, I hear them." "Yes, Little Blue, now it's time to begin our journey." Papa's voice echoed across the sea, through the liquid light, and deep into the mysterious black. Little Blue followed Papa's song and asked, "What's there, Papa, where we can't see?" "Ahead is our summer feeding ground, Little Blue, and below us is a magical world," said Papa. "But far below, it is very dark." As they traveled, Little Blue dreamed of what lay below and saw a flash in the darkness. With a swoosh of a tail, Little Blue followed the flickering light and dove down into the cool water. Everything was magical, just like Papa said. Little Blue went deeper. Far below, it was cold and dark and silent. "Papa, where are you?" cried Little Blue. "Where are you?" But Little Blue's small voice was lost in the darkness. Then Little Blue remembered what Papa said and listened. Little Blue, Little Blue. Little Blue followed the path of Papa's song and rose up from the deep. Together they soared into the light and sang Papa's song across the evening sea. The end. In a moment, you'll see a Zoom link in the chat. Kids and families and anyone who'd like to participate in faith formation is invited to click on that. Thank you.
My friend recently told me about this book that he was finding helpful. It's titled The Underachiever's Manifesto. Not surprisingly, it's not a very big book. It's a compact little volume written by a physician with the great subtitle, The Guide to Accomplishing Little and Feeling Great. The author directs right on the back cover to lower the bar, he says. If no one in your life thinks you're failing to live up to your full potential, then you've got a lot of work to do. Then it says, in all caps, turn it down a notch. Striving for mediocrity is the key to happiness at work, at home, in love, in your diet and exercise, even while stuck in traffic. Well, while that's not exactly the principle of Wu Wei, which is the Taoist concept of non-striving or doing nothing, that concept in itself can be misunderstood. Wu Wei is not apathy. It's not about being lazy or simply relaxing. In the Tao Te Ching, the sacred text of Taoism, we learn the Tao or the way never acts, yet nothing is left undone. Taoism is a faith that is practiced by more than 20 million people around the world. And Wu Wei is the key to the noblest kind of action according to the philosophy of Taoism, and is at the heart of what it means to follow the Tao or the way. It doesn't mean not acting, it means effortless action, or maybe even actionless action. I remember a while back when one of our members was leading a midday Tai Chi class at UUFD. Tai Chi being the physical representation of Taoist ideals. The group would meet on that patch of grass right behind the San Juan building. And the staff, our offices above Bowman Hall, could look out the window, look down, and see the practitioners slowly gliding through their effortless, nature-inspired elements. Just watching offered a sense of ease for us. It took me back to a recollection of a time standing on top of Knob Hill in San Francisco. I had just slowly walked the labyrinth at Grace Cathedral. Looking out, that's a picture of Grace Cathedral right there, and the steps leading up to the front door. And then we'll look inside of Grace Cathedral. Streamers coming down. If you look down at the foreground of the photo or the very bottom of the photo, you can see the labyrinth, the indoor labyrinth at the back of the pews. And then there is another labyrinth out the side door that then looks down the hill. And this was the view after I walked the outdoor labyrinth. I gazed at the large troop of Chinese adults moving silently together through each graceful posture. I love the flow of movement that reminds me not to try to swim in opposition to the stream. Might I find Wu Wei in a week like this one, in which the trial of a police officer finally culminated in conviction, in a moment where still I'm remembering the beautiful face of Elijah McClain from Aurora, Colorado, the grief that it took George Floyd's murder to reinvigorate or popularize the movement for Black lives. Maybe you, like me, are feeling the pangs of woe or frustration, having heard about the death of the 16-year-old girl who was shot and killed by police this week in Columbus, Ohio. When responding to that shooting, Yale professor and expert on policing, Philip Antiba Goff, asks us to consider. He says, you can argue about the officer's actions. You can argue about it. But he says, how many times did we fail Makia Bryant before, that 16-year-old girl? How many times could we have prevented what led to a call for police? Inherent in the Wu Wei is the paradox. It never acts, yet nothing is left undone. We live enmeshed or born into a culture of white supremacy, regardless of our personal upbringing. To uproot that culture, it will take maybe not striving, but a new consciousness that takes its place. One of the characteristics named in white supremacy culture is that of a sense of urgency. Now, not the same urgency as the call to make systemic change in the racist systems like policing in America. Rather, this kind of urgency is how it is made difficult to take time to be inclusive or to think long-term. This urgency frequently results in sacrificing potential allies for quick or highly visible results. For example, sacrificing interests of communities of color in order to win victories for white people, seen as a default or the norm in community. This kind of striving is reinforced by funding proposals, as an example, which promise too much work for too little money, and by funders who expect too much for too little. The remedy that is suggested by those who call for an end of white supremacy culture, maybe this is a little more of a Wu Wei approach, would be to have realistic work plans or leadership, which understands that things take longer than anyone expects, to have time to discuss and plan for what it means to set goals of inclusivity and diversity, to learn from past experience how long things take, to be clear about how you will make good decisions in an atmosphere of urgency. The culture into which we are born, into which we grow and come of age, is preoccupied with incessant activity and demands for performance, striving as the goal and an addiction to achievement, which is included in that manifesto little book. The Taoist notion of pu, P-U, translates as simplicity, or actually it's called uncarved wood. When this concept was initially proposed, and here's when that was, it was in the period more than 200 years before the Common Era. Okay, so many, many years ago. When that was proposed, it was distinguished from Confucianism and the Confucius metaphor of ritual cutting or filing, carving, and polishing of jade. Think about some of the jade pieces you have seen, which was part of the Confucius metaphor. The Taoists then promoted unhewn wood, pu, which, though unrefined, it is said, could not be mastered by anyone in the world. The problems of our day, climate change, systemic racism, economic justice, or the intersection of those things, or what we might feel even more immediate, or how do we return as the pandemic wanes? Could we apply these ancient principles? Could the virtue of non-striving, of not overdoing, help us on our way? As we complete this month, I continue to wonder, what does it mean to be a people of becoming? The Reverend Elizabeth Nguyen, who serves as a community minister in the Boston area, reflects. Spirit, she inquires, I would really rather not learn this. Didn't think I needed to. I thought someone else could do it. Thought a leader was coming to do it. Thought the young people could do it, or the elders could do it, or the professionals. Or I don't want to learn it because it means letting go of something I hold dear. She continues, letting go of being someone who knows the answers, letting go of being someone who doesn't know, letting go of the way I see the world, letting go of how I might have to change, letting go of certainty, of logic, of facts, of control, of the myth that you can live on this earth and not harm, or the myth that I can't learn anything new. She finishes, help me to learn it, please. And then help me to live what I have learned and do right by the gift of being taught. Wu Wei, non-striving. Let me close by sharing just a little from the author of that book, The Tao of Pu. He writes, there are things about ourselves that we need to get rid of. There are things we need to change. But at the same time, we do not need to be too desperate, too ruthless, too combative. Along the way to usefulness and happiness, many of those things will change themselves, and the others can be worked on as we go. The first thing we need to do is recognize and trust our own inner nature and not lose sight of it. So until we are together again, know that I love you. Amen. Amen. Ashe. Blessed be.
Sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, 'cause there's a million things to be. You know that there are. And if you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. If the million ways to go, you know that there are. What you want, the opportunity zone, and if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true, and you can make it undo. You see, oh, it's easy. Say no, say no, 'cause there's a million ways to go. You know that there are. And if you wanna be me, be me. And if you wanna be you, 'cause there's a million things to do. You know that there are. You can do what you want.
Thank you, Lawrence, for your music once again. As we begin our offering, I'll remind you that there are three ways you can make a donation: by check on our website, clicking on the donate button, or by texting, which in my experience is the easiest way to do it. You can see how to do each of these by looking at the information that should be in the chat line. Our offering words today are adapted from Eric Walker Wickstrom. He says, "It is said that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, yet we'll accept from a grouch as well. As we create this space for this morning's offering, may each of us look not just into our cash balance, but into our hearts and see what's available there. How much love, how much generosity, how much faith, how much gratitude, how much hope. And let us take our offering from that account. For your gifts which we receive and the gifts which we ourselves are, may we be truly grateful. May we be committed to using these gifts to make a difference in the world, to increase love and justice, to decrease hatred and oppression, to expand beloved community, to share, to keep sharing, as long as we ever can. Thank you for what you do. Your gifts will be greatly received.
Our closing song today, Find a Stillness, has been described as a prescription for prayer and meditation. Carl Seberg wrote the lyrics, setting them to a Transylvanian folk tune. There is a three-part invitation in the lyrics to find the stillness and the essence, to hold them, and then to let them do their work in us. Please join Reverend Katie and me and Marilyn Garce on the piano as we lead this singing prayer.
James now extinguishes our chalice. Katie will lead our benediction.
How cool was that, huh? Right there, were you watching it the whole time during worship? The benediction today comes from the Reverend Sam Trumbore. Go forth in simplicity. Find and journey the path that leads to compassion and wisdom, that leads to happiness, peace, and ease. Welcome the stranger and open your heart to a world in need of healing. Be courageous before the forces of hate. Hold and embody a vision of the common good that serves the needs of all people. And finally, before we go, the benediction of art and beauty comes from Aileen Schwab, member of the UUFD Arts and Aesthetics team, one slide of her peaceful quilt. Go in peace and stay afterwards for some fellowship. I'll invite you in just a minute.